Please turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 6, 12 through 20. So the question after those songs is, does your Redeemer's love grow sweeter the closer you get to eternity? That could be today. And that could be in 30 years. And if you have 30, how much sweeter will it be then? Hopefully after this morning, you will feel it a little sweeter. Let's imagine your Christian walk like this. You are walking on a very high ridge. There is nothing to your left but a fall into the abyss. There is nothing on your right but a fall into the abyss. The path you are on is very, very narrow. And in case you thought your predicament wasn't frightening enough, you have been up here on the narrow way as a child. You must be careful to stay on the path and not crawl off the edges. God has warned you that it's impossible, if you do so, to be restored to repentance. That warning we heard last week serves as a guardrail up here on the narrow way. What you need is meat. You need to have powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. As you read the beginning of chapter 6, you might feel a little uneasy. You might feel like your salvation is but a thin thread wrapped around your waist as you walk this high, narrow path. It is fraught with danger. You must grow up. You must move on to meet. Many things in your life will attempt to pull you away and keep you from growing. Those things will entice you from the other side of the guardrails. They sound eerily similar to the hiss of a serpent. Come over the rail. It's fun out here. If you come over, you will not fall away, but be given wings. Surely God did not say you wouldn't ever be able to come back. But you are not alone up here on the narrow path, and today's text is here to encourage you to walk boldly up the narrow path all the way home to glory. Because remember, you, Christian, are no longer blind. God has given you eyes to see, and he has said elsewhere that his word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Your path is lit up as far as your next few steps. And you are not tethered to this path by anything like a thin thread. But as we'll see in our time together this morning, believers are tethered by the strongest cord known in all the universe, the cord of God's promise. Our path can seem dangerous and strewn with many pitfalls, but our God is far more faithful than our path is dangerous. And our text today is going to show us that. So pray with me before we get started, please. Father, help us this morning to hear your word, to internalize what you have for us this morning, and that it will make us bold and confident, not in ourselves and in our behavior, but in our God, in you. Draw us closer that it will be sweeter and sweeter until the day that we get to come be with you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for our time together this morning. Pray, Father, you are glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, turn to Hebrews 6:12. We're going to start a little bit early. We're going to start in verse 9. Let's start reading there. God's word says this, starting in verse 9, though we speak in this way, yet, in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have full assurance of hope until the end. And here's our first verse for the day, verse 12. God's word says this, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. People who have full assurance of hope until the end will do what? They will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Did you hear that? Don't be sluggish. Don't be a milk drinker. Don't be one who can't be restored to repentance. But be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is great news. We're not the only ones to have ever walked this narrow path. We are not the only ones to have ever heard the warnings. We are not the only ones on whom the fierce winds of a fallen world have blown. There have been others, and they have inherited God's promises. What kind of people were they, these inheritors of the promise? They were full of faith and patience. These are the two characteristics of the inheritors. The way you traverse the narrow path is to obey the warnings and be full of faith and patience. Now, in case you're like me and you're a little slow on the uptake, and you're thinking, Lord, I wish you had given me an example to look at of those who through faith and patience inherit promises. No problem. God is always gracious to us. It has been today because he included verse 13. Let's go there and see our example of how we should have faith and wait patiently on the Lord. God's word says this in verse 13 through 15. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. In these verses, the author of Hebrews has taken us back to Genesis 22, 15 through 17. You don't have to turn there, but just listen close. Where God made this promise. God's word says this there. Trust me. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. This is great stuff. Did any of you breathe a sigh of relief when you read that? Because you should have. Many who call themselves Christians believe obtaining the promises of God depends on them, depends on their performance. Many of you still struggle with that same thing. But here in verse 13, we see that God swore, not by Abraham's behavior, but by himself. You know what this is like, don't you? It's like the kid on the playground who swears on his mother's grave that he's telling the truth. That kid is looking for something more revered than his own word. And what could be more revered to a kid than his mom's grave? Or the adult who swears on not one Bible, but a stack of Bibles. Though he disregards this book in most of his dealings and his search for something more revered than himself, he knows that somehow the Bible, God's word, is better than his. So surely a stack of them is better than that. Well, when God looks around for something more revered, of more worth, more holy, more righteous, he finds nothing. Nothing. There is nothing to make his word more sure other than swearing by himself. You can be sure of God's promise because he made it. Surely Abraham had no idea how God was going to multiply his offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. But he knows the promise will come through his son Isaac, so much so that even if he obeys God and sacrifices him, somehow God will fulfill his promise. Abraham believes and he waits patiently for what God has sworn by himself to do. In this scene, can you see the shadow of it? A son sacrificed in obedience to God. Now listen. We spoke of that cord that keeps you safely on the path. Well, picture this promise of God sworn by his own self as one knot in the cord as you walk along the high, narrow path. You may still be a child. You may only be able to see a short distance ahead, but you have wrapped that cord. God has wrapped that cord around your waist, and the knot that holds it there is God's promise that he has sworn to by himself. Have faith. Wait patiently on the Lord and fear not. The path before you, Christian, your cord will hold. God has promised. God's word says this in verse 16 and 17. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. Oh, God is not done, brother and sister. You are not left with one knot to bind that cord around your waist. There is another, God's oath. Think about what this means. God has not only made a promise and sworn to it by his own character, he has now put a sort of seal on that promise. You see, in Old Testament times, they would say things like, as the Lord lives. That was the end of an argument. You no longer had anything to say. If the person who had sworn an oath by God did not fulfill what he had said, then God would be the judge. You no longer needed to be concerned with whether or not they were speaking the truth, because if they weren't, they had way, way more trouble coming than you could ever bring. And here, God has guaranteed his promise with an oath. Again, giving his oath by something greater, not giving his oath by something greater, because there is no one greater than God.
in essence, relying on the unfailingly perfect character of himself to show you that his promise is a done deal. Remember that cord wrapped around your waist on the high, narrow path? It now has not only the knot of God's promise in it, it now has the double knot of God's promise guaranteed with an oath. There is nothing in all the universe so sure as this. How could there be when the creator of all that you know has said so? Have faith. Wait patiently on the Lord. Fear not the path before you, Christian. Your cord will hold. God has promised and guaranteed it with an oath. God's word says this in verse 18. Look down in your Bibles. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. It's just getting better, isn't it? So that, he says, or because of these two unchangeable things, meaning number one, God's promise, and number two, God's oath, you just have to love how caring and kind your God is when he adds this little line for you, in which it's impossible for God to lie. In case you had forgotten the kind of being God is, after all this talk of promises and oaths, he is one for whom lying is an impossibility. He is truth. He doesn't tell the truth. He is truth. Remember what he said? I am the way and the truth and the life. You are dealing with someone who has no potential. He will never be more good than he already is. He will never get bad either. Everyone else you run into has the potential to be better and the potential to be worse. Not God. He has always been and will always be truth. He just is. And the author of Hebrews seeks to encourage you with that fact. How do I know that? Look at the next part of the verse. He's talking to those of us who have fled for refuge. Where? Where are we fleeing to? More precisely, who are we fleeing to? To God. And we should have strong encouragement from this promise. Strong encouragement from this oath. Strong encouragement from the fact that God is truth. Why do we need this encouragement? To hold fast to the hope set before us. Remember the cord wrapped around you? Up here, on the high, narrow path with guardrails of warning, the one with two knots. Think of that rope as your hope. This is not a, boy, I hope we win today kind of hope, but a, you will win, so bank your life on it kind of hope. You know, nobody jumps out of an airplane with a parachute on and says, man, I hope this thing works. You may say that, right? You are banking your life on that parachute. That is a different kind of hope, as evidenced by your clenched hands around the airplane door. That, this hope that is sure, is the kind of cord that is wrapped around your waist. So have faith. Wait patiently on the Lord. Fear not the path before you, Christian. Your cord will hold. God has promised. He's guaranteed it with an oath. And he has given and still gives you hope. God's word says this in verse 19 and 20. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. What do we have as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul? We have our truth-telling God's promise and oath. They don't sway back and forth. God is not like men who flip-flop on every idea to suit the current circumstances. We don't know what that's like today, do we? No, he is like the anchor used on the largest of ships. Though the wind blows and the waves buffet, you are safe in him from the storm. For your anchor is not hooked to the shifting sands of this world, but moored to the sure foundation of heaven. You may rest in the bow of the boat with your Lord and Savior, for he is the anchor of your soul. And when you awake in the morning, you shall find that your vessel is unharmed, and you have not moved one inch from the path, for you have been safely anchored in Christ all through the night, all through the storm. That hope that is set before us is one that entered into the place behind the inner place behind the curtain. What does that remind you of? Remember in the Old Testament, there was a curtain in front of the Holy of Holies. No one but the high priest went behind that curtain. But look again at verse 20, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. As we noted in the beginning of our time this morning, we're not on an untrodden path, but one that has been taken by many before us. But now we see that there is one more important traveler than any of the others on our road, even more important than Abraham. We travel a path that has already been walked by our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only has he traveled our path, but he has gone where no one but the high priest was able to go. He has gone behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies, having been the perfect sacrifice for sin and the most holy of high priests, even after the order of Melchizedek. And hang with that, because we're going to get there in chapter 7. Have faith. Wait patiently on the Lord. Fear not the path before you, Christian. Your cord will hold. God has promised, guaranteed it with an oath, given hope, held you firm on the path like an anchor in the stormy sea. How has he done so? He has done so in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our high priest who has gone before us. And the Bible says this about when he died on the cross long ago. Listen close. At that moment, when he gave up his spirit, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. He has not only gone behind the curtain, but he has torn it in two, therefore allowing those who would believe in him to enter the Holy of Holies and to see God. You read your Old Testament, they weren't allowed. They were separated. They had to talk to somebody else. Not you. Not you, Christian. Jesus has gone before us, and he has opened the way. And we stand in worship as we did this morning, right before God's face. But my friend, if you have come here today and your anchor is hooked to the shifting sand of this world, no hope in sight for the future, and no guarantee of safe passage into the world to come, I want to warn you of this. You too are on a high path that falls into the abyss on both sides. However, you have no guardrails on your path. You are just a blind child alone in the dark with no light to guide you and no promise from God that you will arrive safely home. It is, in fact, worse than you could ever imagine. Your path will end with an abruptness that will not allow for you to reach back and grab the edge, no matter how desperately you try. You have no hope of saving yourself, and you have no rope to catch you as you fall. So I beg of you, before you fall from your path into an eternity without Christ, call to him through the darkness by believing he has paid for your sin on the cross and has been raised again from the dead, securing victory for all who would believe in him. He will come. He will find you. He will rescue you from the deadly path you are on, and he will bind you to himself with the cord of his promise and anchor you to heaven so that you will never be moved off course. And to my dear brothers and sisters here this morning, God has given us many promises in his word, and he is sure to keep every single one. From our text today, we see that he was sure to keep his promise to Abraham that he would surely bless him, and he will surely multiply his offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sands that is on the seashore, and his offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. But what about us? I stand before you today to tell you that you are the fulfillment of that promise. You are one of the stars of heaven and the sand that is on the seashore. God is fulfilling his promise to Abraham even now. So how should the certainty of God's promise lay upon you today, brothers and sisters? You should hear these promises and the certainty of them that is God's very character, and in that you should so believe the promises he has made you that you do not wait in fear and anxiety for the final day, but you wait with patient hope that longs for the day when you will follow in the footsteps of the forerunner of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, into glory behind the curtain and face to face with God. That is not a pipe dream. That is not like hoping you win the lottery today. This homegoing is as sure as God is true, because he has promised. Have faith. Wait patiently on the Lord. Fear not the path before you, Christian. Your cord will hold. God has promised. Guaranteed it with an oath, given hope, and held you firm on the path like an anchor in a stormy sea. You will inherit his promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We doubt and struggle. We find ourselves in turmoil sometimes. And Father, we just need to go back to your word and trust the character of who you are. And I pray, Father, this morning, as we heard your word, that would encourage us to do so. And Father, if there be anyone, and I know there is, in this room who does not know you, who is wandering around on the path alone, Father, I pray that you would save them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.